Torah Mem Vav, chapter 46, in the second half of Likutei Moran. And we started it last week. Actually, we covered about two-thirds of it. We're going to be doing the last third. We'll give a short review of what the first part of this Torah is about, and we'll pick up from where we left off. Rabbein Ezal starts this chapter of Likutei Moran mentioning the fact that each and every single Jew has Mesiras Nefesh every single day, every single hour. Now, the term Mesiras Nefesh is one of the most exalted terms that exist within Judaism. The highest level on which a person could possibly serve Hashem is, when we talk about dedication, loyalty, to the limit, to the T, it's where a person is willing to give his life for Hashem. It's serving Hashem in that manner, where you're doing it with such seriousness, with such dedication, giving it your all to such an extent where it's classified as giving your life for Hashem. And Rabbein Ezal explains, now where do we see a Jew doing this every day and several times a day? Rabbein Ezal mentions two examples. One example is in terms of money. Every single time that a Jew gives money to Hashem, meaning a Jew spends money on a mitzvah, be it tzitzis, be it tefillin, be it the amount of money additional that a person has to add to buy Chol of Yisrael milk or to buy glat kosher meat, any time that there is an expenditure of money for Hashem, Rabbein Ezal says that is classified as Mesiras Nefesh. Why? Very simple. Because of the fact that each and every single person actually puts their life in jeopardy many times in order to earn a living. We mentioned last week that nowadays leaving your house is a form of putting your life in jeopardy. Walking on the streets, getting on a subway. I don't know what the odds are now. Statistics, is it 50-50? Is it 90-10? Don't make it, you know, without some type of injury or threat to their life. Or certainly people who go on business trips, they have to get on planes to travel overseas or across country in order to do certain things for their livelihood, which are classified as Mesiras Nefesh. In other words, a sense of an element of risk that's involved in earning a livelihood. And we know that this element is actually defined. It's a concrete item on which insurance companies base their whole livelihood, is based on the risk factor that's involved in all elements of a person's conducting their life. So Rabbein Ezal says the fact that there exists this element of risk when a person goes about earning money, and then a person takes this money and gives it away to Hashem, either by giving it to poor people who serve as agents of Hashem, or by spending this money on a mitzvah, tzitzis, which is something that I would not ordinarily buy. Were it not for Hashem telling us to wear tzitzis, I'd be more than comfortable with an undershirt and a shirt. I wouldn't have to have this additional garment. So this extra money that a person is willing to spend for Hashem, that's classified as Mesiras Nefesh. The money is something which you risked your life to earn. You're giving it away to Hashem. It's as if you risked your life for Hashem. If A equals B and B equals C, it's A equals C. It's that kind of relationship. Secondly, when it comes to tefillah, when it comes to a Jew standing up and davening to Hashem, the Zohar HaKadosh uses this terminology about tefillah. The Zohar HaKadosh says you should know that each and every single person goes through a battle when they're davening to Hashem, and the battle is to be able to concentrate, to be able to focus all their attention on what they're saying and whom they're speaking to. And the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that all the sins that a person performs, and for a variety of reasons, each and every single Jew gets bombarded with outside thoughts at the time of tefillah, and a person actually has to fight. There's a battle that goes on, a war that goes on, in trying to concentrate, trying to push away these outside thoughts, and trying to concentrate only on what you're saying and whom you're speaking to. And the Zohar HaKadosh, in discussing this battle, it uses the terminology Ki olecho hayragnu kol hayoim, that a Jew says to Hashem, Hashem, for you, I die all day. I kill myself all day, meaning I enter into this life and death struggle with these forces, the Malach HaMoves, in a sense, the angel of death, which is another name for the Satan, the one who tries to scatter a person's brain at the time of tefillah. This is called a battle to the death, in a sense, where again a person is exercising mesiras nefesh. This struggle, the strain that a person is put under at the time of tefillah trying to concentrate, this is also registered as mesiras nefesh. Rabbi Nizal says you should know that all the different obstacles that each and every single person experiences in coming close to Hashem, and each and every person during the time that they face these obstacles, it appears to them as if they're the only ones who have it, nobody else is nobody else has it, or nobody else has it this rough. Rabbi Nizal says you should know it's definitely not true, because this is something that everybody experiences, and we know the Gemara testifies that Hashem never gives a person an obstacle that's impossible for that person to overcome. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu bo betrunya imbriyosav. Hashem doesn't come with an impossible test to a person, and therefore the fact that a person is given this item as a test or this item as an obstacle is a sign that the person definitely can overcome it. Rabbi Nizal says not only that, but don't even look at the obstacle itself as a negative item, because within the obstacle itself is found Hashem. Because we know, for example, when Hashem was going to reveal himself to Moshe Rabbeinu, when Hashem asked Moshe Rabbeinu to come up to heaven to study with Hashem privately, the manner in which Hashem presented himself at that time was in a black cloud. There was a thick black cloud, and the Torah tells us that the people saw it and they were afraid to approach it. Whereas Moshe Nigash El Ha'arofel, Moshe Rabbeinu approached this thick black cloud, Asher Shom Ho'elokim, within which was Hashem. Hashem was to be found within this black cloud. And we mentioned once before that the Meforshim point out that this word Ho'arofel, which means this thick black cloud, is bigimatria, the term Shechina, one of the nicknames of Hashem. So that Rabbi Nizal testifies to the fact that many times when a person experiences obstacles in coming close to Hashem, within the obstacle itself is found Hashem. And by battling the obstacle and overcoming the obstacle, a person unlocks a door and he's able to see where this obstacle itself was actually Hashem himself looking to bring him close. It was Hashem testing him for his sincerity. And sometimes when a person has something come easy to them, they don't appreciate it anywhere near as much. They don't feel it anywhere near as much as when it's made difficult, when there's a struggle and then you get to it. The pasuk says, Mesuka shnas ha'oved, that the sleep of a person who puts in a good day's work is very sweet. Whereas a person who does nothing, a person to whom their livelihood comes easily, they don't sleep well because they don't have this satisfaction, the same satisfaction that a person feels who knows they did have to work, they did have to struggle, and then they achieved. This whole concept of yogato motzoso tamin, that the Torah says that when it comes to any success in the world, it involves effort on the part of the person. And the reason for this is because in this struggle, this is what really allows a person to get to find Hashem better, to see Hashem more clearly. Rabbi Nizal says you should know that out of all the different obstacles that a person experiences, the most difficult one by far is Menias HaMayach, which means the doubt within a person's mind. Meaning, if a person really, really knew 100% that there is a Hashem, and that Hashem is in this room at this moment, and Hashem can look inside each and every one of our minds and read every single thought that we're thinking of, nobody would dare. Nobody would conceive of thinking any thought that was contrary to Hashem, contrary to observance of Torah, of mitzvahs. The fact that we find that we're not perfect in this is only because this isn't 100% definite in our minds, because our emunah has not been perfected to such an extent, and it's based on that small percentage or large percentage, whatever it is that we're missing in the faith being 100 billion percent, That's what makes it, that it's possible that we could be standing with a siddur open, speaking to Hashem, and our mind is wandering. Why is it wandering? Because you don't really see somebody standing right opposite you listening to you, and you don't fully believe it 100%. If you did fully believe it, no problem. Rabbeinu Zal says, so too in coming close to tzaddikim. A person struggles to come close to the tzaddik emes, and all the different obstacles that a person encounters are very easy to overcome. It's the most difficult one is the menias hamayach, the doubts within the person's mind. The fact that the person isn't 100% sure, is this the true tzaddik? Is he really as great as the Torah defines him to be, etc.? And that's the most difficult obstacle to overcome, to be able to rid oneself completely of these doubts. And Rabbeinu Zal says the solution, when a person finds themselves in this predicament, what's the solution? How do you actually counter this most difficult obstacle? Rabbeinu Zal says the solution is that a person has to call out, cry out to Hashem from the depths of their heart. And this act of calling out to Hashem, asking Hashem, please bring me close to you, reveal yourself to me, reveal to me the greatness of these tzaddikim. When a person does that with true, from the depth of their heart, Rabbeinu Zal says this will resolve any doubts, any questions that the person has. This will help resolve all of these doubts. And Rabbeinu Zal says this is hinted to in the fact that there's a pasuk in Tehillim where King David says to Hashem, Shema Hashem Koli Ekra. Hashem, please listen to me as my voice cries out to you. And Rabbeinu Zal says that the first letters of these four words, Shema, Hashem, Koili, Ekra, make up the word Kashya, which means difficult questions, doubts. That the solution for these kushyas on Hashem, all the things we don't understand about Hashem or don't understand about tzaddikim that allow us to have deficiencies in our faith, the solution is this Shema Hashem Koli Ekra, this calling out to Hashem. And this is pretty much where we had left off last week. In our Likutei Moran, it's on page 62, the right-hand column, about three or four lines down from the top of the page. Umein ze. We're going to begin, it's the fifth line on the page, the second word. Umein ze. And similar to this, Rabbeinu Zal says, in the same vein, Mashemesaprim b'shem habal shem tov, zecher tzadik v'kodesh levrocha, is the parable that's told over many times in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. This is a very famous parable that's quoted in all the Sforim that write about the Baal Shem Tov. They usually quote this famous parable that he told over. A parable. Shemelech echod hiniach oitzer godol b'mokoyim echod. There was a king who had a very, very special treasure, and he wanted to make it accessible to the people. And yet, on the other hand, he didn't want it to be easily accessible. So what he did was, v'sibev ba'achizas einayim, he placed in an imaginary form, not real, this was unreal, this was make-believe. He was able to use different light, in other words, different forms of light or other things, to project an image as if kama v'kama choymais saviv hoitzer, as if there were rows and rows of walls blocking a person from being able to get to this treasure. And when people approached these imaginary walls, it appeared to them that these were actual walls, actual solid barriers, and that it was it would be very difficult to break through these walls. A percentage of them returned immediately to their homes. They gave up right away because as much as they had heard that there was a fantastic treasure, they saw clearly, fine, you give me a treasure, I need blessing, I need a hydrogen bomb to get through, and I don't have those ingredients, so finish. So it's nothing to pursue. It's not, there's nothing I can do. It's hopeless to attempt to break through these thick walls. Uktsasam shibru shavru chaymo echod. Some of them broke through one wall, they were able to make it through one wall, ubo el hashenis, And then they saw a second wall, v'layachlu l'shabra, and they weren't able to pass through that one. Uktsasam shibru yaser, some of them broke through still further, v'layachlu lishboyer hanishorim, and they weren't able to break through the remaining ones. Now the question is, if somebody made it through one, why couldn't they make it through the second one? Obviously, this is designed with wisdom, whereby it's in stages, it's in different levels. The first one appears to be so difficult to break through. The second wall appeared to be much, much more real, much more lifelike, and obviously it took more of an effort for a person to come to a realization that it wasn't a real wall. And the third wall was still further. This is obviously designed with incredible wisdom to make it difficult to separate the men from the boys. Ad shebo haben melech, until the prince came along, the king's own son, who was the one who was most serious, he was the one who knew his father the best, and he knew that his father wasn't foolish enough, he wouldn't design something, he wouldn't prepare a treasure, put out a treasure as bait, and have people waste their time in making attempts to get to it, if it wasn't really accessible, if there wasn't an actual way for a person to succeed in getting this treasure. So therefore, this prince didn't allow himself to be turned away or to give up, no matter what. And Omar, he said, Ani yodea, I realize, shekol ha-chaymois heim rak ba-achiza senayim, that all of these walls and barriers and obstacles are just imaginary. Ube'emes ein shum chaymo klal, and in truth, there's no wall whatsoever. There aren't any walls there. V'holach lovetach ad she'ovar al kulam. And the prince succeeded in going right through until he passed through all the walls and made it right to the treasure and succeeded in getting it. This is a moshel, a parable that the Baal Shem Tov told. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Umizeh," and from this parable, Yovin Hamaskil, a person who's intelligent, will understand Hanimshel Me'elov, will understand what to take out of this. Al kol hamenios v'hahasosos upituyim, regarding all the obstacles and the questions and all the different tricks that the Satan tries to use to make it appear to a person as if it's impossible for them to become a tzaddik. It's impossible for them to get to know the Torah. It's impossible for them to become very religious. Shehem b'chinas chaymois sheyesh al oitzer shal yiras shamayim. This refers to the imaginary walls that are set up to block a person from getting to the treasure, which is true fear of Hashem, true service of Hashem. Shebe'emes einom klum. In truth, these obstacles are nothing. They're imaginary. It's a mirage. The Satan is given the power to make it look like it's impossible. To make it look like, if I don't have the money, how am I going to possibly get to Eretz Yisrael? If I don't have this, how am I going to possibly do it? V'ho ikor, Rabbeinu Zal says, the main thing is Lev Chozok, for a person to have Lev Chozok v'amitz, for a person to have a strong heart, a courage, an inner courage and bravery, v'oz ein loy shum mania, and then the person will find that there is no obstacle whatsoever. U'befrat hamania is begashmius, especially the physical barriers and obstacles, kigoin shemachmas momoin, either regarding money, oy shemoinea, oy soy ishto yuvonov, or a person's own wife and children, v'choisnoi, or his father-in-law, oy oveveimoi, or his parents, ukiyotse, all the different obstacles that stand up at times to prevent a person from coming close to Hashem, heim kulam betelim umuvutolin, lemi sheliboy chozok v'yamitz l'Hashem Yisborach. All of these become null and void immediately to any person whose heart is really, really firm in his belief in Hashem and in his desire to come close to Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal points out, V'gam afilu givura shel hagiborim, you should know that the strength of strong men, people who are great warriors, or actual strong people, Hurak mechizek va'imetz halev sheyeshloi lev chazak biyoser lorutz bekishrei hamelchama kemuva besforim. Rabbeinu Zal says that you should know a fact of life, that when we see people who are successful in battle or at war, or in the war, in the financial war of trying to climb the ladder, the corporate ladder, any of these cases, we see a person who shows strength. Rabbi Nizal says you should know that the strength is only an inner strength. It's a courage, something that a person possesses inside their heart. Where if a person, meaning, the best word for this, I think, is a determination. Where a person is 100% determined to get to something, and the person says in their heart that they're not going to let anything stand in the way, such a person finds that all the obstacles that other people consider obstacles, they fade away, they become nothing to this person. He hears of an obstacle, he doesn't even want to see it. He doesn't let it register in his mind. No obstacle. I'm going from here to there, and that's the only thing I'm interested in. And anything that'll come up along the way to block me is trivial in comparison to how strongly I set my mind to the fact that I'm getting there. And this is something that Rabbeinu Zal points out here, and Rav Nosson Zal talks about this a lot in Likutei Halachos, that this is a strength that each and every single person possesses. The Mefarshim say to a Jew, don't be like the elephant that allows himself to be led around by the little mouse. Each and every one of us is considered to be an elephant, and many times there are different mice that come along and try to lead the person by the nose away from Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal gives the examples here, different examples of money, financial problems, a wife, a father-in-law, a father, different things that come up, different situations that come up where these people could represent a threat to a person's coming close to Hashem. And if a person is really, really determined, 100%, and in their heart they've set themselves to this, that this is what I want, and nothing is going to get in the way, Rabbeinu Zal says such a person passes through these obstacles as if they were imaginary, as if they were nothing. Now, if you recall, we mentioned a few months back, or possibly a few years back, when we were learning Torah Chof Hei and Likutei Moran in the first half, we mentioned the fact that Rabbeinu Zal gave a whole chapter on Likutei Moran discussing the Satan, and what he referred to him as in that Torah was the Koyach Hamedame, the power of imagination, that this is the Satan, Mr. Fantasy, and this is the whole ruse with which the person gets, with which the Satan gets a person to go after Olam Hazeh, after money, after women, after all the different things that a person gets involved in, food, whatever it is. It's a fantasy. A person imagines that if they'll have this, they'll have complete happiness. They'll have been a complete success. And Rabbeinu Zal said, at the end of that chapter in Likutei Moran, at the end of that shir, Rabbeinu Zal said that now we have to give the Satan a new name. From now on, we're not going to refer to him as the Satan, we're going to refer to him as the Koyach Hamedame, the power of imagination. This fantasy, this imaginary force, even in the form of obstacles, any obstacles that the Satan presents are only obstacles in the imagination. It's not real. It doesn't pose a real threat in preventing the person from coming close to Hashem, because Hashem would never put a solid block in front of a Jew and preventing him from coming close to Hashem. Why? If this is what Hashem wants of us most, Hashem himself wouldn't put a barrier. So if there is a barrier there, the barrier is only to test the sincerity and the determination of the person who wants to come close to Hashem. If the person isn't really sincere and he's looking for an excuse to get out from learning Torah, to get out from coming close to Hashem, to get out from coming close to Tzadikim, such a person will get hit with a few obstacles, and then he'll turn away, he'll say it was too hard, it was impossible, and such a person will be fooled. Whereas a person who's really sincere, he really loves Hashem and wants to come close to Hashem, such a person will see that there's no way in the world that as much as he wants to come close to Hashem, Hashem wants infinitely more for the person to come close. And so too with Tzadikim. The Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe said to him, Rabbi Eliezer HaGodol said to Rabbi Akiva, much more, or Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Shimon Yechoyezal, I forgot who, one of the rabbis of the Gemara said it to the other one, much more than the calf wants to nurse from its mother, the mother wants to be nursed. In other words, the mother wants to give. And this is a rule regarding Hashem's relationship with the Jews and regarding Tzaddikim's relationship with the Jews. And it's only if the person is sincere that they're able to see through this fake cloud that's preventing the person from coming close to Hashem, to Torah, to Tzaddikim. And if a person is sincere, a person will break through without any problem and they'll be zeicher to get to the Tachlis, they'll be zeicher to get to Hashem. On this chapter on Likutei Moran, there are a few interesting points that are mentioned in other Sforim of Rabbeinu Zal's where he touches on some items that are related to this. We'll mention them short because they're period. We'll say it in short. In Sichai Saran, in the Sefer, in English it's called Rabbi Nachman's Wisdom, chapter 104, paragraph 146, Kuf Mem Vov, Rabbi Nosson Zal writes that Shayach Lahatoira Kashya, related to the chapter on the Likutei Moran that deals with this topic of Kashya, Shma Hashem Koli Ekra, Likutei Moran Tanina, Simen Mem Vov, Rabbi Nosson Zal points out that Kodem Tevas Va'al Kol Ponim Hashem Yisporach Shemea Koloi Shezei Shuasoi, if you take a look, right before we began tonight, a few lines up, the top line on page 62 in our Likutei Morans, where it says the last word on the line, V'al kol ponim Hashem Yisporach Shemea Koloi Shezei Shuasoi, Rabbi Nosson Zal points out that right before that sentence, it appears as if there was something missing there. There was some more information that should have been inserted right before that. And Rabbi Nosson Zal says, V'ho Iker, the main punchline of this chapter on the Likutei Moran is, Ki hatzaoka beliboy bi'atzma hu bechinas emuna, that this act of crying out from one's heart, crying out to Hashem, that in itself represents faith in Hashem. The act of calling out Hashem, that's faith in Hashem. Ki af al pi shebuem olav kfirois gedoilois v'kashyos, even though a person finds themselves faced with all kinds of atheistic thoughts and conflicts and not being able to understand Hashem well, not being able to understand religion well, me'achar shetzayik al kol ponim beliboy, as long as the person cries out in his heart to Hashem, bevadai adayin yesh boi nitzutz unekudo meho emuna akdosha, certainly that person still has a spark of emuna, ki im chas v'shom lo yehoye boi oid shum nekudo meho emuna klal lo yehoye tzayik klal. If that person literally didn't have a drop of faith, the person wouldn't be crying out at all. Nimtza, therefore we see, shehatzaoka ba'atzma hu bechinas emuna. The crying out itself is an act of faith. So when a person finds themselves at such a low in faith in Hashem, where they feel there's so many unresolved questions, either about Hashem or about the Tzaddik Emes, that they don't understand, they don't know how to deal with, and the person feels so pained by it that they cry out, Hashem help me, that in itself is a percentage of emuna, and that in itself will certainly lead the person, the gam al yidei ha-tza'oka, zoichen lo emuna. This tza'oka leads to faith in Hashem, faith in tzaddikim. Hainu sha-tza'oka ba'atzma hu b'chines emuna kanal, rak shu emuna hu b'katnas goda. The crying out itself is a form of emuna, but it's a very low form of emuna. It's a katnus. But if a person exercises this power of crying out to Hashem, then they'll see that that'll lift up, that'll increase their emuna to such a point that all the questions will fade away completely. And even if a person isn't zeicher to that, even if a person isn't zeicher yet to have all the questions disappear completely, al kol ponim, and this is where it picks up, the al kol ponim Hashem Yisporach Shemei HaKoloi Shezei Shuasoi. In other words, Rabbi Nosson Zal felt that there was something more that had to be inserted in elaborating on the point of emuna that Rabbeinu Zal spoke about on the previous page, showing how this tza'oka represents emuna in a low form, and the tza'oka leads to a tremendous increase in emunah in Hashem. Yes, we had it in last week's shir, at the end of last week's shir, the Shema Hashem Koli Ekra, that act of crying out to Hashem, that that's tzedakah.
By saying I believe.
Exactly, by a person declaring his faith. Although here, Rabbi Nezal wasn't talking about that. Rabbi Nezal was saying a person's crying out to Hashem, begging for help. Exclaiming that I have these questions and I don't know and I don't understand, and begging Hashem to help him, that in itself will give a person this Yeshua.
This chapter speaks about the imagination.
Chapter 25, in the first half of Likud Emoran, Terach Chaf Hei. Interestingly, that we just entered into the month of Kislev, where we have this fantastic Yom Tov of Chanukah, this holiday of lights, where the celebration is the fact that the Yevonim, the Greeks, wanted to eliminate the faith of the Jews completely. They were the ones who declared Kisvulochem al Keren Hashoyer, right on the horn of an ox, She'im lehem chelek beloka, that you have no portion, no part of Hashem, that you don't believe in Hashem. The Greeks were known for philosophy, injecting doubt in Emunah, and we find that this Yantif itself, the Yantif of Chanukah, the word Chanukah is Bigimatria Medame. This word Medame, fantasy or imagination, this item that represents the Satan, this Koyach HaMedame in trying to make it appear as if the things that are most real and most factual in life are imaginary, and the things that are most imaginary are real. The fact that the Satan tries to make Hashem and the sweetness of the Torah and the sweetness of mitzvahs appear to be only a fake, a fraud, and chas v'shalom, and the opposite, to take things that really represent bitterness, it's a sugar-coated merirus, and try to make that appear so sweet that this is how you're going to succeed in life. If you'll have this, if you'll have a fancy car, or you'll have this, this is when you'll really achieve total happiness in life. Rachman al-Islam. Okay, we'll mention one other item. In Chaim Aran, in the section called Avodas Hashem, chapter, paragraph 138, Rav Nosson Zal writes that a man came before Rabbi Nezal, and he said to Rabbi Nezal that he was having tremendous difficulty in concentrating on davening, because whenever he would get up to daven, all kinds of outside thoughts would come to his mind. So Rabbi Nezal said to this person, accept it as a kaporas avonos. Accept this as a purification for your sins. And Rabbi Nezal smiled when he said it. He laughed like when he said it. And Rav Nosson Zal said that they understood from Rabbi Nezal's smile that what he was implying was that the fact is that all of these outside thoughts that come to a person's mind at the time of tefillah are actually things that were created by the person. Each and every single time a person does an avera, they create something spiritual. The Gemara calls it a malach, they create an angel. Rabbi Nezal says this angel manifests itself many times as these bilbulim, these machshavei zorois that come to a person at a time of tefillah, and they're melvalvel him, they prevent a person from concentrating on davening. Rabbi Nezal says, but at the same time, the fact that a person is suffering from this, the fact that a person is pained by the fact that they can't concentrate on davening, that they can't show Hashem the proper respect that Hashem deserves, etc., that pained feeling, that in itself serves as a forgiveness for these sins, and that helps to eliminate these thoughts. It's when a person actually feels bothered by this and hurt, he's crying inside over the fact that these thoughts are constantly bombarding him and he can't daven with a clear mind, that in itself serves as a forgiveness for those sins. That suffering serves as a forgiveness, and that suffering actually erases these sins and erases these thoughts from the person's mind. There's a little bit more, but this is the part that relates specifically to this Torah Likud Emoran that we were saying. One other short item regarding this concept of Meniyah Samayach, the fact that Rabbi Nezal points out in this chapter on Likud Emoran that the most difficult obstacles for a person to overcome are the lack of decisiveness within a person's mind and heart in terms of believing in Hashem, believing in Torah. Rav Nosson Zal writes in Likutei Halachos, in Hilchos Birchos Horeach, Halacha Dalid, Ice Aleph. Rav Nosson Zal there discusses this item, and Rav Nosson Zal says he should know that it's the person's mind. Again, as Rav Nosson Zal says here, that if a person will be powerful in their mind, if they'll be definite and decisive in their mind in wanting to come close to Hashem, then that will give a person all the strength that they need to be able to overcome all the obstacles. How do we see this? Because the term for the mind, the power of the mind, is called Chachma. Chachma is wisdom. That's the power of the mind, of the brain. The word Chachma is actually two words. Koyach, Mo. The power of Mo, Memhe, is Bigimatria Odom, the word man. Koyach Odom, the main strength of a person, is in the person's chachma, in the person's mind, a concept of mind over matter. Even the goyim lahavdil know of this concept, where you have a possibility of a person concentrating their mind to such an extent they want something so badly, so desperately, that they actually get it. Just by wanting it so much and by concentrating, focusing attention to such a strong degree, this is what gets it for them. Why? Rav Nosson Zal says this is hidden in the word Chachma itself. In the word Chachma, we see that this is the koyach of the Odom. This is the whole strength of the person. And it's only if a person is able to resolve the doubts in their mind, the obstacles in their mind, that they'll find that all the other obstacles will fall away like nothing very easily. Whereas if a person doesn't eliminate the obstacles, the sfeikas, the doubts in their mind, then everything becomes an obstacle, everything becomes a difficulty, everything becomes a problem, and the person finds it very difficult to come close to Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Next, Torah Mem Zayin, chapter 47.
Can a person like this reading and take the words literally and think like in a rough way, anything that stands in his way, just to knock it down? Any mania in the vice of Shem, just to be ruthless. Where do you see that special way you're supposed to be? You know, like a person who's reading was take straight out that, you know, in a rough way your wife gets in the way, or a friend gets in the way, anybody says, you know, don't let anything stand in your way.
Because Rav Nosson Zal said In other chapters in Likutei Moran and other places, Rav Nosson Zal quotes the advice of the Torah, which is Ma Ne'erach Yoshev Chema, that you should know that in many cases, again, it's a matter of brain versus brawn, that there are two ways to overcome an obstacle. And here we're saying it clearly, that it's the Koyach Odom is in Chachma, that it doesn't take a genius to pull out a gun and shoot his wife, and then the obstacle is eliminated. If she would ever prevent me from coming to a shir, if there's ever a question of that, if she's dead, obviously the problem is resolved. The answer is that you didn't solve the problem. That's not the solution. The real solution is when a person is able to use the chachma to be able to solve the problem. In other words, to use the brain versus the brawn. That's the hakol kol yakov ayodayim yedei esav. In other words, the fact that we know many, many cases, most cases, that it's a matter of sechel or a matter of tefillah for a person to be able to succeed, more so than the brawn, the strength. Although, again, we said that it does require an inner strength, a person being definite in their own mind that this is what they want and that they don't want anything to get in the way. That's what gives a person the sechel to be able to know how to deal with it. Torah Mem Zayin, chapter 47. Rabbi Nizal says, Sakona Gedoilo Loimar Torah. It's extremely dangerous for a person to lecture in Torah. Vitzorech Loze Yegia Gedoilo. And it takes tremendous effort on the part of a person. Vumnos Yisera. And it takes tremendous talent. Sheyuchal lishkoil b'pheles devorov, for the person to be able to weigh their words, to make their words very, very precise, ba'ofen, in a manner, sheloyishma kolechot v'yechot mehashemim ki im mashet zorich loy loyoser. In order that each and every single person that's listening to the lecture should only hear what they're supposed to hear, not more, not less. Not more. That's what Rabbeinu Zal points out here specifically. And although physically all the people are present in the room and their ears are picking up everything that he's saying, im kol ze lo yishma kol echod rak ma shetzorech levad, each and every person should only feel, should only receive that which they're supposed to receive. Ukemuvo al parshas al posuk vayishma Yisroi, as is brought in the Zohar HaKadosh, on the sentence in the Chumash where it says, Vayishma Yisroi, Yisroi heard all that had happened to the Jews, the miracles that happened when they were taken out of Egypt, etc. The Zohar HaKadosh asks, V'halei kol ha'olam shamu. Why does the Torah say Yisroi heard? Why doesn't it say Vayishma ha'olam, the world heard, and Yisroi came? Yisroi was the one that came. Elo, the Zohar HaKadosh says, Yisroi shoma. Obviously, what Yisroi heard was different from what the other people heard. Two people can hear an incident, two people can hear a story. One is affected by hearing the story, and the effect is that it causes them to do certain things. The story penetrates into their heart or into their mind, into a place where it's supposed to penetrate, and it has a cause and effect. In other words, it causes the person to make a move, it picks him off his inertia and gets him to do something, whereas other people that hear the same story and it doesn't do anything for them, it doesn't move them in any way. Kirak shmias Yisroi nechshav l'shmia. It's only Yisroi's hearing this that's classified as actually having heard about it. Shenichnas bi'oznav, that it entered into his ears. Ushmias kol ha'olam einoy nechshav shmia klal. And the fact that the rest of the world heard about this, it's not even considered as if they heard. Proof is that they heard it and it didn't have any effect on them. That shows that they didn't really hear it. It was the one who heard it and was affected by it. That's the one who we could really say that he heard what was going on. He really observed and understood what was going on. Umi she'eino yochel loymar Torah bebechinazu, and any individual who's not capable of presenting a lecture in Torah in this manner, osur loy loymar Torah, he's actually forbidden to lecture in Torah. Ki kol echod v'echod, because each and every single person, kishebo el hatzadik lishmaya Torah, when he comes to a tzadik to listen to words of Torah, bo imoy gam horasheloi, each and every person brings with him all of his evil, all the bad things that he's done come with the person. Dahainu haklipois hanivroim al yidei averos chas v'shalom. This means all the elements of tuma which were created by the sins that this person performed, they travel with him. They keep him company throughout his life. And when this person comes into a shul to hear a shir, he brings inside with him all the tuma, all the klipois that were created as a result of his bad deeds. Veheim hadoichkim es ha'olam va'oisim bilbul v'doichik godol b'shas amiras ha'Torah. They are the ones who impose a pressure, a crowded feeling, and all the confusion that takes place, all the noise that goes on during a shir, they're the ones that cause it. Ki horahanal shel kol echod roitzel balbel, because it's the evil, the bad of all of these individuals that wants to disrupt the shir. They want to cause a disruption. They don't like hearing words of Torah spoken because it's something that's against them. It's the opposite of them. V'zeh shom razal, this is what the Gemara states very clearly in Brachos, where the Gemara says, Hai doich kada kalo minayhu. Kalo refers to the special shiurim that were given in the time of the Gemara and even nowadays, before the major holidays, before Pesach, before Sukkot, there was a special shir where men and women were invited to attend to learn all the laws of the Yantif. The name of that shir was the Kalo. And the Gemara says that when the people would come to listen to this shir, the pressed feeling that they would feel, the pressure physical pressure, and the noise, the disruption at the shir, it was a result, minayhu, was from the klipos. It was from these forces of tuma, meaning, haynu mehora shel kol echod v'echod shehim haklipos kanal. It comes from all the negative parts of these people that are coming in, all the ra that they created, that they're bringing with them now. This ra is what causes the disruptions and what causes this crowded feeling. Because we know that by kiddusha, by holiness, there doesn't exist any concept of space whatsoever. The Gemara tells us, for example, the land of Eretz Yisrael that represents Kedusha, the Gemara says there was never a time that a Jew felt crowded in the land of Eretz Yisrael or in the city of Yerushalayim. The Gemara says that the whole Jewish nation was able to fit into the courtyard of the Mizbeah, of the Beis HaMikdash, and they were able to bow down, and each one had 8 feet around him. 600,000 people were able to bow down and have an area of 8 feet around them on all sides within a courtyard that was maybe 100 feet or a couple of 100 feet by a couple of 100 feet, period, in size. How is this possible? The answer is that within the spiritual realm, within Kedusha, there is no limitation of space. So that if we do feel a limitation of space, it's obviously because there is Tuma present, there are Averis present, there is Ra present. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Ve'elu haklipos roitzim gamken linak min haTorah." These klipos, these creations, which the person created with his own sins, they also want to draw from the Torah that's being spoken, because what gives them life, what gives them sustenance, is also the Torah. V'yinikosom hurak mehamaisros, and their nourishment, their power to be able to draw, comes only from the extra, from that which is in excess. Dahainu ma she'echod shoymea yoyser ulamala mimoichoy v'havanosoy. It only comes from the fact that a person is listening to something that's way over their head, way over this expression of being over my head. It means it's not able to go inside my head. So whatever Torah is being spoken that goes inside my head, that nobody else can get. Whatever goes over my head, it means it didn't go into my head. Where did it go? The answer is that becomes available for these forces of Tuma that surround me to be able to draw from. Ze bechinas meisrois. This is a form of excess, a form of something extra. Umisham yenikosam. And that's where these forces of Tuma draw from. They draw from waste. They are able to take advantage of waste or excess. For example, we find in the body, the two parts of the body that are most associated with tuma, with klipa, are the hair and the nails, because they represent maisrois, something extra, something that doesn't really have a purpose or function that benefits the body. They are extra. Therefore, that's where the tuma is able to latch on to, able to draw from. And this is why a Jew is obligated to see to it, to keep their hair, to make sure that in these two items specifically, in the hair and the nails, there should not be any excess whatsoever. There shouldn't be any exceptionally long hair or long nails, to trim it, and to trim it at specific times, etc. Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zeh bechinas roze Torah shenim salachitzaynim." This is the concept of secrets of Torah which are given over to the klipos, to the forces of tuma. Ki enikosam rak mebechinas roze Torah, because their nourishment comes only from these deeper portions of Torah. Dahainu mima shehu lemalo mimoyach ha'odam. Kol echod lefi avanosei. Meaning, from that part of Torah which is above the normal comprehension. Above what normal people are able to comprehend, meaning to most people this is considered an excess, something that's over their head. This is what the klipos are able to draw from. Alkein, therefore, Tzorich hechocham ha'omer Torah. Therefore, an intelligent person, a Talmud Chacham who is speaking words of Torah, sheyielo umnus hanal. He must have this talent. Shelo yishma shum echod mehashemim ma she'enoi lefi moichay b'havanosoi. That each every one of the people that are present should not hear anything more than what they're capable of understanding. She'enoi shayach leklal, meaning they should not hear anything that doesn't apply to them whatsoever, that doesn't relate to them at all. Why? Kedei shaloi litein lohem yinika chas v'shalom, so as not to give these forces of tuma a place from which to draw from. Rabbi Nazal says, v'da, and you should know, sheyesh klipa daka, there is a very thin, a very fine type of klipa, type of shell, type of tuma, shesmucha lahakdusha, which is very close to the kedusha, shezois haklipa hadaka yecholo linak afilu miguf hatayra biatzma. This very thin klipa is able to draw not only from the extra portion of Torah, from the excess, the waste, which is what normal klipas draw from, but this very thin, very fine type of klipa is able to draw even from the guf ha-Torah, even from the actual major section of Torah that's not classified at all as being in excess. Afilu em ein bo moisrois, even if there is no waste, there is no excess. V'ha-tikken lozeh, Rabbi Nazal says, what's the tikken for this? How does a person protect their Torah from being harmed in any way, from this klipa daka being able to draw from it? The tikken is, k'shemedabrim miyeshuois Yisrael, she'oz boirachas oisei ha-klipa ha-daka. When a lecturer mentions the salvation of the Jewish people, a Yeshua of the Jewish people, he mentions a salvation or a success or a good hope for the Jewish people, This is what serves as a protection that these klipos should not be able to draw. V'zeh b'chinas ma'asham razal, this is what's alluded to in the Gemara in Zvachim, where the Gemara says, she'yisroi bo, Yisroi came, v'holach loy koydem matan Torah, and he left the Jewish people before the Torah was actually given on Har Sinai. He came and then he left. Ki Yisroi hu bechinas haklipo hadako. Yisroi represents this very fine type of klipo, because Yisroi was originally from the nations of the Goyim. He was a Goy originally, a convert. Sheboirachas, which runs away, kisheshemea Yeshua is Yisroel. When it hears of the salvation of the Jewish people, that causes it to run away. Period. That's one complete thought. Now, we're going to talk about this more, Mitzvah Shem, in the next shir. We're going to talk about this more, what this means exactly. A clear example of this is the fact that the Gemara says, and you find most rabbis, when they finish a shir, they end off by saying, we should be zeicha to get to see the coming of Moshiach, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. This is an item that's mentioned in the Gemara or in the Medrash, that this is the proper way to end the shir. That's actually mentioning the Yeshuas Yisrael, that the Jews are going to have a Yeshua. And what that does is, that puts a final seal of protection on the shir, the words of the shir that was spoken, that even this klipa daka, this thin, very fine klipa, should not be able to draw from the shir, from the words of Torah. Rabbi Nazal makes one final comment. V'hatzadik ho'emes, the true tzadik, yesh loy ema gedoyla, has such awe and fear, kisha'imer Torah, at a time that he's presenting a lecture in Torah, yoyser me'emas Rosh Hashanah of Yom Kippur, greater than the awe that people are familiar with, that's associated with the high holidays, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, a much higher level awe and fear is felt by these tzaddikim amitiim at a time that they're teaching Torah. Because obviously they're aware of the seriousness involved in this concept of transmitting Torah, how delicate an operation it is, and how there's so much of a potential for harm coming out of it. We find cases of people that actually went off the path because they heard a certain item at a shir. They heard a certain item mentioned, and as a result, they left the Jewish faith. You have the Baisusim and other people that the Gemara speaks about, students who sat at a shir, their Rebbe mentioned a certain item, they misunderstood it, and as a result, they went out and they said, if he said such a ridiculous thing, then everything he taught us till now couldn't be true, and they actually abandoned their faith in the Torah as a result. So we see that this item of giving a shir is something that's a very delicate item. Now, could anybody today profess to possess this knowledge of being able to weigh and measure, etc., all of these qualifications? The answer is obviously not. In terms of wisdom, the only thing that we could do is to accept the responsibility that before a person gets up to teach Torah, a person has to ask Hashem to put the proper words in their mouth, that they should be guided and directed not to say anything that they shouldn't say, and that the words should come out in such a manner that each person should receive, should hear only what they're supposed to hear, only what applies to them, not more, so that there shouldn't be any damage whatsoever that could come out from the words of Torah that are being spoken. Halavai, we should be zeicha that the divrei Torah that we hear should be of this type of caliber, this type of quality. Mitzvah, the next year we're going to talk about this a little more, because Rabbeinu Zal had touched on this also in a chapter on Likutei Moran in the first half of Likutei Moran, where he spoke about the significance of Shvachoi Shel Mokoyim, about praising Hashem. The reason why we say Haidu, Haidu in the morning, at the exact point in time that we do, right before going into Psukei D'Zimra, because Zimra in Hebrew means to sing, and Lazamer in Hebrew also means to cut away. To cut away. Azamer Bishvochim. With my song, with my praise of Hashem, I cut away the klipos. By speaking of this Yeshua Yisrael, the Shvochei Shel Mokoyim, that serves to cut away any klipos that would want to draw on the Kedusha, on the words of Torah that are going to be spoken. In Psukei D'Zimra, it's mostly Torah, words of Tehillim. Tehillim is a section of the Torah that was speaking. In order to eliminate any potential of them being able to draw from it, we say, Shiru loy, Zamar loy, Sichu b'chol nifloisov. We discuss the Yeshua Yisrael, and that's what serves as a protection not to allow these klipos to be enik. There's more to say about this. We'll do it hopefully in the next year, Mitzvah Hashem. Any questions? The Rabbeinu Zal is referring to a portion that's even outside that realm. In other words, there is this concept where the Gemara says that a person, and Rabbeinu Zal mentions this, that a person who's at a shir and things are being mentioned that they feel are over their head, they should still listen and try to do the best they can, because anything that you listen to in this world that you don't fully understand, when you'll come to Gan Eden, when you'll come to the next world, the fact that you heard it in this world already, it'll be much, much easier for you to comprehend it in the next world. So that would imply that there's nothing that's wasted. Whatever I understand what the answer is still, it appears, the fact is that there are certain items that apply to certain people and certain items that don't apply to certain people. This item, you know, there's certain instances where there's an item of Torah that a person says to his Rebbe, does this apply to me? And the answer is no. This item, we're not talking about erasing one of the 613 mitzvahs, but certain avoidos, where at this point in time, this item doesn't apply to you. And if you would try to do it, it's something that's considered out of your reach, out of your limitations. It could do harm. It would be categorized as maisrais for you at this time. It's that aspect which this person is not supposed to hear.